Welcome back to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. According to the Korea Economic Institute in Washington, D.C., South Korea is the seventh largest destination for exports of South Dakota goods, the majority of them from food manufacturing. Exports from the state have grown by more than a third since the Korea-U.S. Free Trade Agreement was signed in 2011. Next week, officials from the Korea Economic Institute, the U.S. Department of State, and the Korean Embassy will attend panel discussions on the past, present, and future of Korea. The events are sponsored by the South Dakota World Affairs Council and take place on Monday in Brookings and Tuesday in Aberdeen. Phil Eskelund of the Korea Economic Institute was scheduled to join Dakota Midday for more about the South Dakota and U.S. relationship with Korea, but he had a family emergency and is sorry he can't be with us today. Instead, Troy Stangerone, Senior Director of Congressional Affairs and Trade with the Korea Economic Institute, is stepping in and he joins us on the line. And Mr. Stangerone, thanks for joining us on Dakota Midday.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, how close is South Korea as an ally with the U.S.?
We have a very close relationship. The alliance with South Korea goes back to the time of the Korean War. Over time, South Korea has developed and become a much more prominent country on the global stage. The relationship has grown much closer. Outside of perhaps, the United Kingdom or Australia, in a military sense, in the various wars the United States has been in, no country has been more supportive. We have a strong economic relationship that has only grown with the CORUS FTA. Right now, South Korea is actually our sixth largest trading partner.
Well, you mentioned, and I mentioned, the free trade agreement that's been in effect, I think, in about 3 years. I think we came up with a three-year anniversary recently.
Just
last month, right?
Yeah, March 15th was the three-year anniversary of the agreement going into effect.
And what has been the economic impact of that in the relationship between our two countries?
Well, this past year we saw the highest level of exports from the United States to South Korea. You've seen both countries have benefited. Exports are at all-time high for both countries, so we're at a new level of trade. Right now, trade between the United States and South Korea exceeds over $120 billion. We include both goods and services. We've seen right now, over the last few years since the agreement's been in effect, U.S. exports to South Korea consistently on the goods that we've seen the tariff cuts on grow from year to year.
And how important are exports to the U.S. for the South Korean economy?
Right now, we are one of their largest trading partners. China is their largest. The United States, Japan, and the European Union tend to be fairly close in terms of the total amount. But one of the things we've seen, the EU also has an agreement with South Korea, but the United States has been sort of slowly pulling ahead since ours went into effect.
And what does South Korea import to the U.S.?
Do you mean import from the U.S.?
What South Korean goods do they send to us?
We tend to get a lot of things, cell phones. I mean, I'm sure you've seen, Samsung smartphones. You have LG TVs. South Korea is one of the major producers of liquid crystal displays. And then obviously we have the Hyundais and the Kias as well on the roads in the United States. So lots of electronic goods, cars and other vehicles tends to focus on that area.
And then the other direction, what does South Korea import from the U.S.?
We send a wide range of goods. They import Boeing aircraft. We have a wide range of food products. South Korea is actually our largest export market for beef. We also send a large degree of pork and chicken as well. But you also see things like semiconductors and other high-end goods as well that go from the United States to South Korea.
Well, you mentioned agricultural goods. South Dakota is an agricultural state. What does the free trade agreement mean for South Dakota's relationship with South Korea?
Well, we've seen the tariffs start to being cut on agricultural goods. When the agreement went into effect, it was about a third of the agricultural products that went in. Over a period of the next 10 to 15 years, we'll see the rest of the tariffs phased out. So, for example, I mentioned beef earlier. This tariff schedule on beef phases out over 15 years. So, eventually, at the end of the 15-year period, that means U.S. beef will flow into the Korean market duty-free. And if we just look at South Dakota specifically, one thing that stands out is that there seems to have been a significant growth in pork exports. So from 2012 to 2013, we saw exports of pork from South Dakota grow from 2.9 million to 6.7 million.
What do you see is the future of that economic relationship with this state?
I think we'll see it continue to grow. Koreans are eating more protein than ever before. Korea itself, in terms of geography, is a small country. It's very mountainous, so there's not a lot of agricultural land. They import roughly about half of their food, and there's no reason why that food shouldn't come from the United States or South Dakota.
Looking at the broader picture of the Korean Peninsula and relationships with the U.S., I'm curious as far as the impact of North Korea on the U.S. relationship with South Korea.
Yeah, we've seen over the past few years, you've had Kim Jong-un, who succeeded his father, Kim Jong-il, and it's been a period of sort of uncertainty on the peninsula. Shortly after he came to power, the United States tried to reach out to North Korea, and we had what was called the Leap Day Agreement, to where the North Koreans had agreed they would refrain from missile tests and that we would help provide humanitarian aid. Shortly after that, North Korea tested an ICBM. At the same time, the South Korean government has worked to try and reach out and build a stronger, more sort of productive two-way relationship with the North. But the North hasn't been very receptive to that up to date so far.
So what sort of options are there for dealing with North Korea?
It's difficult right now. There's still, because the North Korean regime is fairly opaque, questions about how much Kim Jong-un has consolidated his power and how much of what North Korea is doing at the moment is related to that process. So, for example, on the nuclear question, it seems highly unlikely that North Korea would engage in deep talks on the nuclear issue at this moment. Taking and making a serious concession on the nuclear issue might be difficult in his own transition. So until he has solidified his power, I think the primary goal is to try and take and manage the relationship, make sure that the situation doesn't become any more dangerous than it has been, and try to take and move forward and find ways to slowly build a better, more productive relationship with the North.
Those ways, economic or diplomatic? I mean, how many options are there?
Well, President Park Geun-hye in South Korea has a policy of what she calls trust politique. And generally speaking, what underpins the policy is the premise that there's a lack of trust on the peninsula, and that what you need to do is to take and start small, slowly build up trust between the two sides, and move on to bigger projects. So some of the things that they've looked at, South Korea has been fairly firm in that they would like to take and see the family reunions pick back up again. The North Koreans agreed to one family reunion last year, but haven't done any since then. But beyond things like family reunions, start with sort of cultural exchanges, be they either joint sports projects or exchanges of things like symphony orchestras, and then move there to increased economic exchange. So there is a joint economic complex called the Kaesong Industrial Complex just across the DMZ, to where North Korean labor is married with South Korean capital and management skills. That complex has been sort of stuck, if you will, over the last few years in terms of its growth because of, one, shortly after President Park Geun-hye came to power, North Korea withdrew all the workers, so it sort of highlighted the political risk of businesses investing there. But at the same time, there's been difficulties in the past, getting the workers that are needed and even taking and dealing with just the broader geostrategic issues at play. South Korea has sanctions in place on North Korea that prevent expansion or additional investment, into the complex. And those relate to the sinking of the Chonan in 2010 and the shelling of Waipido, a couple of islands in the West Sea. And so the difficulty right now is finding a way to sort of move beyond the interpersonal and cultural and to take and do larger economic engagement that might take and help reshape the country.
To return to the relationship between the U.S. and South Korea, any particular challenges in the years to come? I mean, just looking ahead to the next couple of years?
The nuclear issue is always or sorry, the, did you say the South Korea relationship?
South Korea relationship, yeah.
Yeah, sorry. Right now, relationships are in a fairly good place. We have the CORUS FTA in place. We've taken and worked on an issue that's called OPCON control, which deals with how our two militaries would work together in the event of a conflict. We're also in the process of taking and transitioning U.S. troops out of Seoul into bases further down the peninsula. Some of the issues that will be ahead in the future include the United States, as you may know, is negotiating the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement. South Korea has not yet joined the agreement, but at an appropriate time, it will be a key partner in that agreement as well. And we also are in the process of renewing a nuclear cooperation agreement for civilian nuclear technology, and that hopefully should take place sometime this year.
Troy Stangarone is Senior Director of Congressional Affairs and Trade with the Korea Economic Institute. And Mr. Stangarone, I want to thank you for taking the time to talk with us on Dakota Midday, stepping in at the last minute.
No, glad to. Thank you very much.